and I thank you for the opportunity to present House Bill 600. This bill expands the crime of assault of a law enforcement officer, corrections officer, emergency personnel, highway worker in a construction zone or work zone, our probation and parole officers. That all of this will be added, in that language, we will add a utility worker. And because of some duplication, you will see in the bill that we are deleting a little section there, 582. Utility workers are out there in the middle of the fray. Many of you all know that I am a volunteer fireman and first responder, and many of the incidents that I respond to requires us contacting utility workers. They're brought out, and they're doing the very same thing, and they're right out there in the same danger that all other emergency services are involved in. Police and firefighters are not the only workers responding to structure fires or utility. Utility workers are almost always called to turn off the electric, turn off the gas, or turn off the water. Our highway workers are not the only workers along the highway and the roadways. Many of our utilities, the easements, are right next to paved highways, and consequently, our utility workers are right there in the same work zones. When troubleshooting outages, utility workers they're not by themselves. Often they go right onto private property at any time, day or night, armed with only a flashlight. They are not equipped with weapons, nor should they be. In these 8 days of hard economic times, utility workers are required to disconnect services more and more and more, because more and more with these economic times, our consumers, our customers are also in those economic hard times and cannot pay their bill. So there are more and more disconnects. Our utility workers are our linemen. Many times are up in our bucket trucks. And when they're up there in their bucket trucks, they're like sitting ducks, you might say. Nowhere for them to go. They cannot get down and out of harm's way in a very quick manner. And we now know from an incident that happened recently that disgruntled customers can do some terrible things. I repeat now, utility workers are first responders in many ways. They are emergency personnel in many ways. We ask them to come to these scenes and go through the same, expose themselves to the same problems that our firefighters and our police officers are. At this time, I have a whole list here that if anybody is interested, would like to see the list of incidents over the last few years that where our utility workers have been assaulted. A couple of gentlemen are going to testify here in a few minutes about what happened to them when they were up in the bucket truck. We have people that were threatened with a shotgun while reading meters. We have utility workers that were trapped in a basement, locked in a basement when they went down to disconnect the gas. I could go on and on. We do not have time for that. We have a full day for hearings. And at this time, I'd like to call two of our witnesses up at the same time. And I'm right now, I cannot find my list of names, but they know who they are.
Good afternoon to the members of the committee. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to hear our story. My name is Mark Baker, and I appear before you today as a delegate of the Missouri State Utility Workers Conference because of our desire to increase penalties against those that commit assaults on the types of workers we represent. All across this state, hardworking men and women go to work every day facing dangers and hazardous conditions with respect to their jobs. For utility sector workers, those who provide the essential gas, water, electric, and telecommunication services so vitally needed by consumers, fear of attack from the general public should not be one of them. With members from all four corners of the state, as well as the major metropolitan areas of Kansas City and St. Louis, the Missouri State Utility Workers Conference seeks to protect all workers from injury and harm on the job. It is our opinion and desire that this bill will help achieve that objective. Relating a personal story about a tragic situation he endured, with me here today is Mr. Jeremy Sitton, an employee of Ameren, Missouri, headquartered out of the Cape Girardeau Service Center in southeast Missouri. On the morning of Friday, February the 27th, 2009, just weeks after working through one of the most devastating ice storms the region had ever seen, Mr. Sitton was part of a five-man crew working at a substation on the northwest corner of the Interstate 55 and U.S. Highway 61 junction. It's exit number 99 off of I-55, about 100 miles south of St. Louis and 30 miles south of Perryville, Missouri. The men that morning were assigned some work on lines coming out of the substation, energized at 12,470 volts face-to-face. Because of the cramped conditions at this particular location, additional men in the air and on the ground were required for safety reasons. Mr. Sitton was assigned by his crew foreman, Mr. Brad Hyatt, to perform work out of the two-man bucket that morning. Mr. Hyatt was in the oversized bucket with him. Mr. Jared Spain was also working aloft in a separate single-man bucket at the same location. In addition to these three men working in the air, there were two additional men on the ground, Mr. Chad Brotherton and Mr. David McKay. At this point, I'd like to turn over to Jeremy for him to recount what happened on that morning of February the 27th.
I'm Jeremy Sitton. As Mark was explaining, that job that morning was a normal, everyday, nothing was going to go wrong job. We were in there removing jumpers. Truck pulls up, and we thought it was just another customer asking about a pole or something. At that time, we watch him drag a shotgun out of the front seat and approach the trucks with nothing to do. We're stuck in the air 20 feet above him. Shots started to ring out, and Jared got on the cell phone and called 911 and was given a description of the truck and the whole deal that was going on. The shooting was still taking place. We knew that Jared's bucket had been pierced, and then we heard the gun turn to us. He peppered our bucket once, and then a 12-gauge slug came through the bottom and through my leg and up into my abdomen. And at that point, he turned, walked back to his truck, leisurely backed out, waited for traffic, and turned and went towards Jackson. And luckily, with Jared's quick response on the phone, giving him the license plate number and everything, he was apprehended fairly quickly after all that took place. But it was just it wasn't supposed to turn out that way, but it did. Thank you.
The gentleman that approached him on the job site was from Perryville, Missouri, not even an Ameren, Missouri customer. When the police cornered him there in the town of Jackson, he committed suicide and turned the shotgun on himself. Respectable members of this committee, as you can tell, this event still has impact that is felt by many to this day. Mr. McKay chose not to participate in these proceedings because it is too painful a memory to recount. There is no doubt that the trauma he went through has changed his life forever, as well as all of these men involved. Mr. McKay was one of the individuals on the ground. As he came around the corner of the truck, the citizen that pulled up on the job site opened fire from 20 to 25 feet away as Dave looked down the end of a 12-gauge shotgun. To this day, the exact reasons why the shooter partook in these actions that he did remain a mystery. Although enactment of House Bill 600 would not have affected him because of his suicide on the day of the event, it would be our hope and desire that this incident have purposeful meaning in all of the affected men's lives, and that you see fit to enact this session the legislation currently placed before you. Thank you for your time and consideration. We would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions from committee members? Yes, Representative Pace.
Yes, to inquire.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I think this is an excellent bill. I do have a similar bill that's coming through as well, the committee, and hopefully we can have an addendum to that with the mass transit workers. But I do believe, you know, that you do need that extra protection, and there are probably numerous positions or workers that also need to be included in this particular bill. But we certainly would I am one that would like to protect you as well.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Representative Higdon, please proceed.
Representative, the intent, or which is a good intent, this bill is an outstanding bill. But to clarify, if we have a misdemeanor assault on a utility worker, this would, because of the status that we were wanting to put them at, would raise the assault to the next level or to the?
Yes. Class A misdemeanor would become a Class D felony.
Outstanding.
One notch up for the three types of assault.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, I wanted to say also that this bill did go to the governor with the mass transit workers at one point, and there was a language change, and I believe this is the identical language at this point. Is that correct?
I could not. I do not know.
Okay. It looks like it would be, so I would think that it would possibly have a passage there, so that would be great too. Thanks.
To inquire?
Please proceed.
Thank you. As a former utility worker, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm just curious, though, I wasn't a uniformed utility worker. Will there be any, is there any issues you anticipate of with a lot of phone people, power and light people not wearing uniforms? I'm not thinking at a job site like a substation. I'm thinking of somebody's backyard or a pole or anything like that. Are those kind of concerns? Is there any possible problem you see with that?
I think that our desire would be to cover any utility worker of any type. Will there be exceptions out there or maybe people that fall through the cracks? Possibly. We hope not. You know, there's contract meter readers. We're most readily identified by the vehicles we're usually in. And I think that's probably the first thought that came to our mind.
Representative McGagan.
To inquire, please.
Please proceed.
This is a great bill. It's outstanding. However, I'm just curious, is there any way the monthly inserts that they put into your electric bill or your utility bills, is there any way you can maybe suggest to the utility companies in one of their inserts to mention that it is a crime to do this? I mean, you know, maybe it might not make people think twice, but hopefully it would. Just a suggestion. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You will find that all of our power companies and our gas companies are very insistent on safety, and they have safety programs, and those types of things do go out. I know my local cooperative sends out flyers and one thing or another, making sure people understand the dangers, and that would certainly be something left up to those electric companies.
Representative Walton Gray.
Understanding from the last couple of questions that sometimes the utility workers are not in uniform, will this bill require that the person committing the assault be aware that the victim is a utility worker? And in the scenario that you gave us earlier, assaulted you guys, did he do it because you were utility workers or just because you were the first person he saw maybe or something like that?
From what we've been told, that there was an FBI investigation along with local authorities. The best assumptions that they've made through collection of personal belongings, this gentleman from Perryville was not even an Ameren customer. He'd been displaced out of a job three times in the previous 12 months. If you look at the timing, February 2009, I think we were in the middle of a trying economic time. Our understanding is he put all of his belongings in a box. He loaded up every piece of ammunition he had in his house, left a goodbye note for his sister, came 30 miles down the interstate. This was the first group of workers that he ran into and was intent on doing some type of damage. This was so random. There were no ties that anybody could ever draw together. And they were readily identifiable because of the vehicles they were in, the equipment that they were working on.
Will the requirement that the person committing assault be knowledgeable of who they're assaulting or not?
No, it's going to be against the law, whoever is doing the assaulting. And whether or not these employees have their uniforms on will have nothing to do with it. The fact that they were doing their job is going to be the circumstances, whether or not what punishment will be leveled on the person doing the assault.
And so it has to be during the course of them performing their duties.
Yes.
Their job. And then also, there are several other groups of people who have the same issues. And that's the reason why I'm asking all these other questions, because are we going to try to include these other groups, or we just want to limit it to the utility workers with regards to your bill?
All the bills presented to this committee will be based upon the testimony and the vote that is ultimately taken. So I don't intend to be the one to make those choices. I intend to allow hearings on all of these important bills.
I guess what I'm saying, has any other groups approached you about this?
This one on our transit workers, and I think there's one more, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what that is right now.
Elected officials.
Well, we probably won't let that go through on elected officials.
Okay. I mean, I could just think of a lot of people who have this problem. Cable, all the utilities are included, but there's just a lot of people who this could be a problem for, and I don't know what we could do, you know, about it, but that was my concern.
The testimony, I think, will show that there is some differences in, you know, from one group to the next, and where this will go, I cannot answer that right now.
Right. Representative Henson.
To inquire, please proceed. When your personnel are working along roadside, are they required to have the safety cones out and wear the DOT reflective striping?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Representative Peters-Baker.
To inquire.
Please proceed.
So basically, to the sponsor, we are looking at a bill that essentially adds a new party, a new potential victim to kind of elevate the assault charges, correct? And the burden is still going to be on the prosecutor to prove that whoever's committing this assault knew that individual was, in fact, a utility worker. It would be the same as an undercover police officer, correct, who may be in plain clothes but is assaulted. You know, that proof level, that burden is still there on the prosecutor. That doesn't change the burden of proof by adding utility workers here. Is that correct?
The way I understand it, the fact that they are out there working in the performance of their duties will, and the judge knows and understands that, will establish this, or the prosecutor.
Okay. That proof is still, you know, that level of proof still would need to be demonstrated to the court that this individual deserves this absolutely higher level of protection because they were in this protected class of people.
Yes.
And then I guess the other question I have is, do you feel that we might be watering down the assault on a law enforcement officer provision here by adding more protected classes?
I wouldn't have filed the bill if I thought that. I feel that this is important enough, a group that's out there in the same situation with the same extreme danger, maybe not as often, but nevertheless out there in the same realm.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, these witnesses are excused. If you'd please fill out a witness form. And anyone else wishing to testify in favor of this bill? Any other witnesses in favor of this bill?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Matt Fork, employed by Ameren, Missouri. I just want to go on record in support of the bill. Many of you know, in out of college, I was a lineman for Ameren. In 2000s, I was on our safety staff for a number of years, working with our employees in terms of training, the type of protections you wear on the road, work zone traffic protection you put in place, for example. And we train for a number of hazards and awareness. The things we can't train for is what the public might do. Excuse me. I'm out of breath for a reason. So we can't train for that. So we can't necessarily be aware of all the things that can happen when we're focused on the extreme dangers that we encompass or encounter every day in our work. So we support this legislation for those reasons, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Representative Henson.
To inquire.
Please proceed.
With the current economic times, have you seen an increase as far as, or has anyone reported back, an increase in hostility as far as your members having to enter properties to disconnect utilities?
Representative, I'm not sure I have a good answer for that. I'm not sure that, given today's economic times, that has increased. I think disconnects are part of the utility business when people don't pay their bills, and we probably have some encounters with a certain percentage of customers, and I don't know if that's increased with the current economic times. I don't have a good answer.
Do you think this bill would, I guess, help your workers as far as when they're in that type of situation? We're having a conversation on watering down the protected classes, and I agree that we can't put too many people into it, but I see with the utility workers, a lot of times we as firefighters and that call utility companies into situations that puts them in harm's way, where we take on that risk whenever you join up to be a firefighter or a police officer, where as a utility worker, you don't necessarily do that. You sometimes become a victim of the circumstance. So in your opinion, do you feel that this bill will help your employees instead of watering down the law, make it better?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a number of high hazards as well, from high voltage, just working at heights, working with ice and storms and wind. And so I think having our workers be able to concentrate on those high hazards for their safety and for their health and to get, you know, lights and restore power to our customers, I think that's what they need to be concentrating on. I think this will help our workers do that, focus their awareness of hazards, what's in front of them, and not so much maybe on the public.
And I guess part of this that makes it a little bit different is that your employees have to go through that training courses concerning working on roadways and in construction zones, that not always whenever they have the outriggers out for the boom trucks, and that they might be blocking somewhat of traffic. And you do have a policy in place as far as their distance that they put the cone each out and that, and wearing the reflective striping and how much they have to have on.
Absolutely, yes. We train for that, and our workers are well aware of that. Again, those are hazards we can control. The hazards we can't control are people that don't, you know, abide by right. Those or are reckless in those work zones.
Well, and that's what my main point is. As long as you're doing your part of the job, that, you know, maybe this will help also. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Fuhrer.
To inquire, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The way I read this bill, I don't see where this applies just to utility workers when they're acting as first responders or working in construction zones. It looks like it is a general application for a utility worker, regardless of how he's dressed, what function he's performing, or where he's at. Is that correct? And don't you see that as being particularly problematic? I think Representative Peters Baker touched on it a little bit. You're out in the backyard reading somebody's meter in blue jeans and a sweatshirt in the middle of the night, and nobody knows who you are. Are we sure that this bill is going to be something that's truly enforceable?
I can speak from Amherst, Missouri's perspective. Our line workers, our first responders, our substation employees, we have certain requirements of clothing. Flame retardant type clothing. They are all labeled with Ameren, Missouri. They're also labeled with our Ameren and their local union. They also have a flame retardant logo. We have requirements for hard hats if they're on a roadway for high visibility vestige. So I think our workers, for the most part, are very identifiable in terms of their work and scope of work, and be it maybe patrolling a line in someone's backyard or other responsibilities. I think people will know their utility workers. From our perspective, I can't speak for others.
I mean, it's always been my understanding that one of the elements of the crime would be to prove that the individual committing it knew the status of the individual when they committed that crime, such as a law enforcement officer in uniform. Again, neither of you see this as a potential problem in the way this bill is written?
I am open to any type of adjustments that you would believe would make this better. I see what you're saying, but I also realize that, uniform or no uniform, assault is assault. And
in that case, Mr. Chairman, we ought to spread it to everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Fuhrer. I think regarding that issue, the fact that it has a knowing requirement in front of that, that automatically the jury instructions will require the jury to find that they knowingly committed that assault against that person, knowing that they were one of these protected classes. So I think that the jury instructions will go ahead and take care of that, but certainly we can discuss that as well. Representative Higdon, please proceed.
And I'm on the same line, Representative. God forbid we have a utility worker that's got off duty, has gone home, he's shut off a couple of utilities. The utility people, the people that had their utility shut off, know that individual to go to his house or her house, pop the door open, and smack them right in the eye. Or we're going to cover that also, aren't we? I mean, this bill will also cover them if they're going to the grocery store and someone says, "Hey, you work for Ameren or KCP&L or the local water company, and you shut my water off," and just like a law enforcement officer or a fireman. That happens to get assaulted just because of where they are employed. Do you see that that's going to allow that to be covered? Because we have a knowing clause in there. I mean, I would like to see it covered.
I can't answer that. I thought there was some wording somewhere in the performance of his duties. So,
I understand, but I'd like to take it beyond, because we have a person that knows who this individual is and they act aggressively towards that individual just based on what they do, not what they're doing. And I would like to see that covered as well.
Thank you.
And maybe both bills.
We'll work on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any further questions from the committee of this witness? Seeing none, Representative Shad.
Someone asked, how frequent or if there's something recently. This last week in the city of Springfield, a subcontractor trimming trees. We've had an assault that recently, so I just wanted to share that with you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Larry Ploys, Laclede Gas Company. Just wanted to follow up on Mr. Fork's comments for just a minute. I certainly do appreciate the comments about maybe needing to tweak this language somewhat. But in conversation with the safety people in my company, I asked them over the last 10 or 20 years what has changed in the environment, so to speak, today versus times gone by. And one of the kind of rather blunt comments I was told in times past, if a utility worker was being held up or mugged or whatever, what have you, a lot of times they'd be at gunpoint and they'd take their wallet, and then when the criminal would vacate the premise, he would just leave on foot. Today, they're most likely to not only be held up, they're liable to be, take their wallet and then be shot. So he explained that in very blunt terms. So I think, you know, in terms of some of the environments we're dealing with, maybe the timing of this issue is becoming more and more relevant. There's been also a question that was raised about vehicular traffic and workplace compliance. I know at Laclede Gas Company over the last few years, we have put a lot of time and effort into making those work zones clearly identified. Cones in the proper place, proper signage, and there's a acronym, which we all have, called MUTCD, which is a manual for uniform traffic control devices that I think most all utilities are trying to follow so that there's no question, you know, that vehicular traffic can see the oncoming hazard, see the workplace, and is clearly identified. So we do try to clean up some of these ambiguous things, because I don't think we want, you know, we want to go after folks that in an accident like that, or you know, you get in the knowingly clause, where there's any question that we weren't doing what we were supposed to do to mark that environment. We recently, I say recent, it might have been in the last couple of years, time gets by quick, had a construction and maintenance employee who was just taking some readings on the sidewalk in the middle of the day and was assaulted and teeth got knocked out on in Grand and Choteau in St. Louis. Not picking on that particular area, but these things do happen way more often than they should. And I think they're escalating to some degree. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee members? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Please fill out a witness sheet.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Pat Strader, registered lobbyist for Empire District Electric Company. I won't repeat what my colleagues have said about how we train and try to arm our employees with as much information as we can. I just wanted to give you a couple examples of things that have happened in our territory. You know, we've had a lot of ice storms in the last few years, and during one of the recent ones, we had a tree trimmer. Actually, it was a contract tree trimmer that was shot at. We've had a female meter reader that was stalked. And we've had many meter readers through the years that have had threats over time as they go out to read the meters and servicemen to do disconnections. A lot of times it'll be someone approaches them that has a gun in a holster, although maybe they've never drawn the gun. It is pretty threatening. One of the things that you might know, for years now, we've had a lot of problems with copper wire theft. And the concern has been that as you approach people that are stealing copper wire, it's a big risk when you do that, not knowing what's going to happen when you discover the theft. And then I know in Springfield we had a case where it was reported that there was a problem with one of the workers. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Steve Murray with Missouri American Water, and I'll just simply say me too. When I looked at this, I was thinking in terms of our crews, but I would say on any given day, we have about 100 meter readers or field service technicians that are out maybe just check reading meters. They work predominantly alone in a variety of suburban and urban settings. Scarcely a day goes by that somebody doesn't run into a problem. So we do support this. I would also say that we're experimenting in St. Louis County with some technology, which is essentially a GPS system, so that if one of the employees does run into trouble, he can hit a button and we can find him if there's a problem. So we're not simply relying on this. We are looking at some other ways of protecting our employees out there. Our employees also are in clearly marked trucks. They do wear uniforms or clothing that's clearly marked, even construction crews in the summertime, the T-shirts or Missouri American Water with the union. So people should know who they're dealing with when they see at least our employees.
Any questions? Representative Fuhrer.
Mr. Murray, when these incidents occur almost on a daily basis, what sort of follow-up is done?
Typically, we call the local law enforcement authorities. That gets to be a problem, too, because in some areas, it's difficult for them to keep up with that kind of workload. We have talked to some police departments about running extra patrols in areas, maybe if we're going to go into an area where we're reading meters that day. You know, could we have a some cars going through. But my understanding is typically a request like that is rarely met, and they don't have that kind of manpower. So basically, we're constantly training, as Mr. Fork would say. You're trying to improve situational awareness. But I don't know what you do when someone goes in, maybe just someone's moved and they've gone in to check, read a meter, and someone from the neighborhood down the street sees them and wonders what's going on and what's caused trouble.
And you think a change in the language of the law would correct those problems of lack of resources and the day-to-day conflicts?
You know, I've been thinking about that as I was listening to the questions, and I really can't answer it. I really can't answer it except to say that maybe once it becomes generally known in the community that if you fool with one of a utility worker, that maybe you're going to be in a wee bit more trouble than you thought you were going to be in.
Well, and if,
I guess that's the deterrent effect. If it works, it works.
At this point, does your company prosecute if somebody does, to use your terminology, fool with one of your workers?
Yeah. Okay. As far as I know, we do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Anyone else wishing to testify in support of this bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kara Hoover with KCP&L. We also want to go on record in the support of this bill for the reasons you've already heard. And I also have written testimony from the Missouri Association of Municipal Utilities who want to go on record in support.
Thank you very much. I'll remind all witnesses to fill out a witness form, please. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Trey Davis, registered lobbyist with the Missouri Energy Development Association, represents Missouri's investor-owned utilities as well as the municipals that were just referenced before, so just wanted to go on record in support today.
Excuse me. Any questions? Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any witnesses here today that wish to testify in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, any witnesses for informational purposes only? Don't see any of those either.